I don't mean to look cumbersome with this thing, but I'll be able to share some audio with my sweet, precious cousin who couldn't be here. Hi, Francine. We're all saying, they're Hi. Waving. Hi, Francine. We're all waving and hollering at you. I've been in this city, D.C., for, this is a hand gesture for a drum roll, 20 years. And I was realizing that the other day, and just kind of sat in a comfy spot and just started indulging and diving into all sorts of DC memories. Emerging self-esteem. Oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, I got a little bit more of a spine during that, yeah. And learning to stand up for your mate. Oh, yeah, that happened. Learning to stand up for your community or your colleagues. Oh, yeah, that happened. And it was filled intensely with a lot of DC memories. And I just sat there with it. And then this inner correcting voice said, do you ever have those types of voices where it's like, oh, don't kid yourself? And this inner correcting voice, don't kid yourself, said the journey to DC didn't start in DC. Duh. There were things happening in your home life of Oklahoma, memories, whether you knew it or not. This was a full-on self-conversation, sorry. So. For what it's worth, I was aware of it in case you're thinking, she needs medication. it was just, this inner voice was just saying, look, the impact of different stories in Oklahoma, crossroads, fears, surprises, family, shaped you, whether you consciously knew it or not, growing up to get to this good old place called DC. So that was a good jolt. And then, man, the floodgate of Oklahoma memories just started zapping. Things that started raising my attention, consciously or not, again, on how to stand up for oneself, how to set boundaries, how to, even when it may feel awkward, to step in to community. And there are three memories in particular that come out. Some of them are reasonably inappropriate, and again, we can wallow in that inappropriateness together, that I would love to share, because the sum of these memories, from getting to point A at home in Oklahoma to point B in DC, have just made all the difference. Crying is permitted. I'm trying to remind myself that. So if we can transport our brains for just a second to Walters, Oklahoma in the late 1930s. Dusty and my grandma Frances was, and this is said with great, tremendous respect, she was a very strong person, beautiful, just beautiful, four children, pregnant, busy woman. And Walters, Oklahoma has like one main street. At the time, it wasn't necessarily paved, and it was laundry day. And her experience, this story, like every 3 or 4 years, would come up at family reunions. And this experience later in life really changed my perception of what standing up for self and standing up for your partner can look like. Four kids, they're all 5 years old or younger, walking, going to the community laundromat at the time, which were very old-timey type of contraptions. The manager of the old-timey cleaners said, you can't use our facility. I'm assuming it was because she would be using all of the machines at once, so other customers potentially wouldn't be able to come up. But let's set that reasoning aside. Bottom line, so the contention had started. It was manager against Grandma Frances. No matter what negotiating she offered, he would say no. So Grandma, with her four children, I can just imagine the domino effect, 5, 3, 2, 1, she leans down to my Uncle Tom, who's about five, and said, "Go get your papa." And Papa was a farmer, and he was having coffee at a break down the road. Papa comes back, a quiet man, and walks up to the manager. I'm kind of shaking, thinking of this, going, "I'm glad I wasn't there." And they talk, minimal sentences. They talk, minimal sentences. Tried negotiation A, B, and C. To no avail. And my grandfather, they were just barely in the door. And my grandfather took him, I mean, imagine the strength, took the seat of his pants and his neck and threw him out a window that is the size of those two windows combined, of like these door windows of combined. So I really support Gandhi, no violence. But okay, so everyone's standing there. Granddad, or he was my granddad, goes back to the coffee house or wherever, whatever he was, beer, whatever he's doing. And grandma, with 1, 2, 3, 4 pregnant, starts the wash. And I don't know the logistics after that. Like, what was he wallowing around in glass? I mean, like, so let's pretend that he got some really great health care in the late 1930s. But this came back in that reflection about being here in D.C. The shaping of this came back going, look, I don't want to advocate violence, but in terms of grandma using her set of tools that she had at her disposal, whenever I first heard this 400 years ago, I was so critical of her going, that's so non-feminist. But now, many moons later, I'm thinking, that's what standing up for yourself, that's what a good partnership can look like. Assuming everyone goes to therapy and, you know. So that really started stirring. And then still in the same place in Walters, Oklahoma, still in the context of what home can mean later on, when it means something completely different when you're living it. Oh, it was the Comanche tribe in the area, Comanche tribe homecoming. There were a lot of wheat farmers and also Comanche residents in southwest Oklahoma. Long-time relationship, long-time interaction. Sometimes tensions, but sometimes community can be a part of that anyway. Sometimes community can be a part of tension. But I remember every summer when it was, wait for it, 110 degrees, southwest Oklahoma would get that pretty hot. And kids would be in the back seat, and our family, there's total wheat expanse. And in the distance of a road, I don't know, probably 2 miles, you could see the gathering of trees and darkness in the trees. So we are all in the car. We are driving to the Comanche homecoming powwow. You can hear, as you're driving up, you can hear the dun, 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 dun. And it's the tribal drums of the Comanche leaders starting the dance. And I remember that drum sound so much, it just drives me crazy. It's so alluring. Like, few things have that captivating sound where you just want to stop. So I was with a few cousins. One cousin had Comanche in her family, and I looked so up to her, so we're going. And you hear the drums in the background. Do, 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 do. This is a little cheesy, but I'm kind of getting my yayas off. So lots of drums, and the dancing had started. And so it's sort of like a casual fair. There are a lot of traditional Comanche dresses. It's really exquisite. And I remember as a kid, probably 8 or 9, and this really taught me a lot about community later. I remember as a little kid looking at the dance. A lot of the women would be dressed in traditional shawls, the wonderful tribal elders were in the center beating drums that were as large, if not larger, than this. And the women would be dancing in a really paced, methodical, it's like a physical hum. It was so beautiful. And I remember thinking, standing on the outside, I know I'm white. I would love to be a part of them. And at the same time, I was resistant. And you know where you can, looking back, you can recognize as a kid that you felt a certain emotion, but you didn't know what it was. You didn't really have the vernacular to know what it was. What I was feeling, that slight resistance, was I didn't want to disrespect the tribes or, you know, my cousin or the authenticity of what they were experiencing. Family encouraged me to join the dance. Drums are going. I was resistant. They encouraged. I was resistant. They encouraged. And then with, I believe, my cousin too, Francine, there was a time I remember finally putting on a shawl. I think Francine found me a shawl and started dancing. And I was so proud and felt, what's the phrase called, pre-tears. I wasn't fully crying, but felt the warming and the pre-cry pulse. And regarding community, and again, this is a later reflection, that moment taught me sometimes joining in can be a vulnerable risk. It can feel like a vulnerable risk. And I just cherish it. There was strengthening there happening, but not to my conscious knowledge. Third memory. Whew! Still in Walters, Oklahoma. A memory about setting boundaries. Do you all find that you're decent at setting boundaries in your life now? No. Oh, I'm not. I'm really poo-poo. I'm really poo-poo. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. But going back to first learning what boundary setting, again, it's a story that does not win a Pulitzer Prize for nice manners. But boy, it had an effect. All right, so let's go to Uncle Kenneth's farm for a second. Uncle Kenneth in Walters, Oklahoma, he worked a little bit with cattle, but he was a wheat farmer, and his fellow farmers on his staff were a part of the Comanche tribe. And I remember one time they're working, starting at 5 a.m. It was like 12:30 or 1 o'clock, and that's when they normally would go back to their home, Uncle Kenneth's home, where Aunt Loretta was cooking and had been cooking for hours to prepare lunch. Except 12 o'clock came, 12:30 came, 1 o'clock came, and they had missed the traditional, quote, lunch bell. Finally, like around 2:30, they come up, they make eye contact. So imagine the whole team and Uncle Kenneth are there, and, you know, they've been working for a good 7 hours, 8 hours, and in the heat, Aunt Loretta is standing at the top of the stairs outside of the house with a huge tin, like deep tin of chili, and throws it out at their feet, goes back, gets another huge tin of steaming chili, throws it out, and it's like splashing on their feet. And she makes eye contact, I just imagine this, and walks back in the door. And then she came back and stuck her head out and said, you missed your 12:30 call. Now, going back as a little kid, I thought, what a cranky thing to do. And I still think, wow, that may not be an example of how to win friends and influence people. At the same time, whenever I first heard this story, I was so focused on Uncle Kenneth's perspective, working hard. He has his colleagues, and they're really going for it, and it's really rigorous work. And I thought, come on, Aunt Loretta, get a break. But since then, I've thought about it and done a few queries, Aunt Loretta would run the house. She wasn't just cooking a TV dinner. It was an organizational event, and she would do it daily, right? And that wouldn't be the only, quote, organizational event. She would have to move on to, quote, three more, including the children, and it was a real management issue. And so now, thinking back on that, and whenever I was first focusing on it in light of this 20th anniversary in D.C., I thought, you know what? You set your boundaries. And there weren't any more stories of the crew and Uncle Kenneth missing that lunch anymore. So, you know, effective. Effective, effective. So here I am. I'm getting multiple levels of tech here. Here I am the other day. I'm reflecting on this 20th anniversary, realizing that the self-education, the community education, didn't just start here. It absolutely started in various impacting ways in good old Oklahoma as well. And I started to get a little warm, a little teary, thinking it was the sum of the journey, right? It was the sum of the exposure to different types of decisions and relationships and perspectives that got to this 20-year experience. And could we go back to Uncle Kenneth for just a minute? He passed away, and it was good. He was ailing, so it was like there was some pleasing relief. And at his service, a Comanche tribe sang Amazing Grace in their native tongue. And as we, thank you for your patience, there we go. As we reflect a little bit, I want to let this play out. But hang on for just a second. Great. This clip is about a minute and a half. While it's playing, I want to say thank you so much for going to Oklahoma with me for a few different scenes and looking at what can consciously or not inspire self-confidence or setting boundaries or diving into community even when it feels vulnerable. Would you all take a minute while this is playing and think about how your home has affected you, either moments that you've wanted to get away from or moments that you've wanted to reunite with or particular conversations even that strengthened you and maybe upon reflection you realize just how much they strengthened you. Whatever home experience that has impacted you, whether it's legendary memories floating around in your own family or something you directly experienced, would you think about that? And then think about if you'd want to share it. And on that note, may the sum of all of our journeys be loving and a source of love, let alone strength. And thank you guys for being here.